Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everyone. Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. Our guest today is Dr. Jerome Corsi. Dr. Corsi is a longtime friend and neighbor of mine. He is an economist, a historian, and a political scientist. And along with Dr. David Mantic has written an unbelievable new book called The Final Analysis, which is becoming the definitive analysis of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Dr. Corsi demonstrates conclusively, not probably, but conclusively, that JFK's body was assaulted from the front of the body by a gunman unknown, unnamed, and obviously contradictory to the official government version. We'll hear a lot about this in just a minute. Dr. Corsi, it's a pleasure, my dear friend. Jerry, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Well, Judge, it's an honor to be with you again, and I look forward to the discussion.
Thank you. I want to begin the discussion by reading aloud the last sentence of the book, which is perhaps the most incendiary and the most captivating, if you'll forgive me for looking down. Robert Kennedy Jr., now claims that the CIA killed his uncle and his father. Therefore, the CIA memorandum, quote, countering criticism of the Warren Report, closed quote, should be seen as prima facie evidence that he has been on target. Dr. Corsi, did the CIA kill John F. Kennedy?
Yes, without doubt they did. I think it's proven in this book that they did. And by the way, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Just yesterday requested a copy of the book, and I've sent it to him today, so he should be receiving that by Thursday. And I was very gratified to know that he's interested. And we did not ask his cooperation to write it. I'm not asking him to endorse the book. He's free to say whatever he wants to say. We shared with him an advanced copy of the book so he would be prepared, and now he's asking to see the actual book. So I'm very encouraged that Robert Kennedy Jr. will see that this book is proof of everything he's been saying.
So you have demonstrated conclusively that JFK was hit twice in the front of his head and once in the back. Can you explain to us the conclusions and then tell us about the bizarre autopsies?
Yes, I will. And the book, which is the full title, The Assassination of John F. Kennedy, The Final Analysis. And on the cover, you can see we have both the skull X-ray with three arrows and one of the frames from the Zapruder picture, which shows where the shots occurred. Now, this is based on work that Dr. Mantic has been doing. David Mantic has a PhD in physics, and he is also a practicing MD. He's a radiation oncologist. He's been practicing that, reading X-rays for cancer patients for over 40 years. He's still in practice. Dr. Mantic has seen the X-rays, JFK's autopsy skull X-rays, more than anyone else. 9 times. He's done it over 30 years. Most of his actual examination of the X-rays was in the 1990s. And what Dr. Mantic has proven is, number one, the three X-rays, none of them are originals. They are all copies, and they are all altered. They're forged to hide evidence of frontal shots. Dr. Manick did optical density measurements of the x-rays, which means he took in to the archives a densitometer, which is a scientific instrument that measures the amount of light coming through the x-rays. And for an expert, it permits you to know what you're looking at. And Dr. Manick has gotten clear evidence that these three autopsy x-rays are all forged. Secondly, there's obvious evidence in the x-rays of two frontal shots. One hit Jack Kennedy in the temple above the right eye, and in figure 3.9 in the book, you can see that there is a trail of broken up metal pieces from that bullet. The bullet fragmented when it hit the head, and across the right quadrant of JFK's skull, you can see the breaking up of these fragments. They head towards the back. The largest fragment is in the back of Jack Kennedy's head. That's because its largest fragment has the most weight, most momentum. It goes the farthest. The shot did not exit the back of the head. That's an obvious indication of a frontal shot. The other frontal shot is the one that hit him at his right temporal bone, this temporal bone right here before his ear, just in front of his right ear. And it blew out the back of his head, the back right of his head. Now, that shot is the one that violently threw Jack Kennedy to the left and back in the limousine. It happened at around frame 331 of the Zapruder film. The third shot, which was actually the first shot that hit his head,
right
at the back of the head by the knob in the back of his head, and it was from a low angle. So probably the Daltex building. This puts shooters in different locations. There's also a shot through the windshield. It's Jack Kennedy in the throat. That's an entrance wound. Windshield was pierced with an entrance wound. Now, this puts shooters on the far side of Dealey Plaza, up by the railroad yard that's above the triple overpass. That's at the distant shot, far second shot. There's a shooter on the grassy knoll. The shot to the right temple is clearly from the grassy knoll. And there's a shot probably from the Daltex building. At least three shooters. Two frontal shots.
Were any of these shooters Lee Harvey Oswald?
No, and none of the shots that hit Jack Kennedy's head could possibly have come from the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository. There's absolutely no evidence of that in the skull x-rays at all.
Did Oswald fire at Kennedy?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I don't believe so. I think Oswald was a patsy. He failed the paraffin test. I think, he was standing outside on the steps of the Texas School Book Depository watching the motorcade. I'm not sure there were any shots fired from the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository. I think that was a setup. The doctors at Parkland knew that Kennedy, at Parkland Hospital, where Kennedy was taken immediately after the shooting, knew that he was hit by frontal shots. They went on the air. They did a press conference 2 hours after Jack Kennedy was dead, and they said Jack Kennedy was shot from the front. Two shots, one in the throat, one that blew out the back of his head. This back of the head wound was obvious and clearly seen by the doctors at Parkland. And secondly, Malcolm Kilduff, who was the traveling press secretary for the White House, did a press conference about 15 minutes after Jack Kennedy died, and he pointed to his right temple and said Jack Kennedy was killed through a gunshot through the head, and he said it came from the right front. Okay, that puts it on the grassy knoll. This is absolutely case closed, definitive information, because the optical density measurements that Dr. Mantic took have also been confirmed by Dr. Michael Chesser, who separately did the investigation and came to the exact conclusion. The book has a lot of illustrations. I put the science in the back of the book. Right. So it's all there, but the book is easy to read. I want this one.
Let's go back to the street level. Was the windshield of the Lincoln vehicle in which he was traveling replaced?
Yes, it was replaced almost immediately. The Secret Service got the car out of Parkland so it wouldn't be photographed. It was clearly a frontal shot. It punctured the windshield and the interior of the glass flew back towards Jack Kennedy. The Secret Service flew that car from Washington, D.C. to Dearborn, Michigan, and the windshield was replaced. There were at least three replacements of the windshield as they were trying to get it to look like it had been a shot from the inside of the car. The government had a problem. The body showed all the shots were from the front, but yet Lee Harvey Oswald, who was arrested about an hour after the Air Force One took off from Love Field in Dallas to go back to Washington, the Dallas police said they'd captured Lee Harvey Oswald, who did the shooting from the sixth floor of the Texas School Depository. And this AP photographer named Elchins took a picture of Jack Kennedy. He was standing in front of the limousine. You can see Jack Kennedy through the limousine when he shot in the neck, reaching up with his arms, and behind Jack Kennedy is the Texas School Book Depository. So now the government has a body with frontal shots, and yet the cover story, the narrative, the lie, is that Lee Harvey Oswald shot with a Mannlicher Carcano rifle, a faulty Italian-made rifle that had a faulty misaligned scope on it, with three shots, because only three cartridges were found in the setup of this so-called sniper's nest in the sixth floor corner window of the Texas School Book Depository, and I don't think any shots were fired from there at all.
How many autopsies were there of JFK's body?
There were two. JFK's body arrived at the Bethesda Morgue at 6:30 p.m. on the night of August 22nd, 1963, the assassination night November. November.
Right.
On November 22nd, 1963, he arrived at the morgue at 6:30 p.m. in a pinkish gray shipping casket. That's not how the body left Dallas. It left out. The Secret Service called up a Dallas mortuary. They got from the funeral home, they got a ceremonial bronze casket. JFK was wrapped in sheets and put in that casket. The Secret Service took the body at gunpoint. They put a justice of the peace and the coroner up against the wall with gunpoint because this was a Dallas murder. It was not a federal crime to kill the president. And the coroner was there to do the autopsy in Dallas. The Secret Service took the body at gunpoint. And when the body arrives in Bethesda, Jack Kennedy comes in this shipping casket. They open the casket and Jack Kennedy's in a body bag and they take him out. He's nude except for towels wrapped around his head. That's not how the body left Dallas, is fully documented by the Navy Corpsman and on the work done by the Assassinations Records Review Board. There was pre-autopsy surgery. In other words, Doctors Hume and Boswell altered Jack Kennedy's wounds. They did massive incisions to obliterate and obscure the front entrance wound. They took a saw and they removed the parietal bone in the top of Jack Kennedy's head. They searched for lead in there to get rid of bullet trails. They were trying to make frontal shots into back shots, and the body was a mess. At 8 o'clock, when Jack Kennedy was put back in the ceremonial casket and brought into the gallery part of the autopsy, Dr. Hume takes the body. They get the body out of the casket, onto the table, the autopsy table. The audience gasps because this head is a mess. It's not how it left Dallas. It's an absolute mess. And so Hume says there was pre-autopsy surgery, and two FBI agents attending the autopsy, Siebert and O'Neill, write this in their 302 after-action report. It's fully documented that at Bethesda Hospital, they altered Jack Kennedy's wounds. The two doctors who performed the official autopsy did pre-autopsy surgery, and they actually were taking a saw and taking Jack Kennedy's parietal bone off his head and messing with it, obliterated the frontal wounds, so that they could lie about all the shots coming from the rear.
Who could have orchestrated all of this? You've described a series of events that had to involve, so far, at least a half dozen, maybe a dozen human beings.
And agencies, because immediately after the assassination, all the information about Lee Harvey Oswald was provided to the press. That had to be a CIA operation. They had described Lee Harvey Oswald in the All Points Bulletin, Dallas police broadcast, looking for the killer. It was complete description of Lee Harvey Oswald. Full biographies of Lee Harvey Oswald were presented to the press, including internationally. We document that in the book. So the CIA, the military-industrial complex, General Curtis LeMay attended the autopsy. He was smoking a cigar at the autopsy, which was his characteristic. That was his characteristic feature. They asked him to stop smoking a cigar. He blew smoke in the face of the people who asked him to stop smoking the cigar. And the military attending the autopsy gave orders to the doctors as to what they were allowed to do and what they were not allowed to do. So you have the military, you've got the CIA, you've got the Secret Service. When the limousine arrived at Parkland Hospital, the Secret Service has buckets of water. They're taking away the blood from the back seat of the limousine. They're altering the crime scene. They're making sure that no one photographs the bullet hole through the front of the window. They get the car out of Parkland Hospital as fast as they can, and they arrange to replace the windshield in Dearborn, Michigan, the next day or two. So you have a complete cover-up in progress that involves at least the CIA, the Secret Service, the military-industrial complex, the Department of Justice, and the mainstream media, which reports everything the government is feeding it, and the Dallas police. Go ahead.
Did you leave out a name or a set of initials?
Well, I mean, clearly, I think Alan Dulles is very much at the center of this. And LBJ, I think, was aware of the assassination. He approved the assassination. He was going to be replaced on the presidential ticket by Jack Kennedy. There was an article the next week after the assassination that was scheduled to come out in Life magazine that would have exposed Billy Saul Estes, one of Johnson's top aides and associates, running sex clubs in Washington, D.C., and doing other illicit activity. Johnson's career was finished unless Kennedy was killed.
Has anybody among the conspirators or participants in the cover-up prior to death acknowledged their role?
Well, Howard Hunt, on a deathbed confession to his son, confessed that he was in Dallas and he played a role. Said he was a bench warmer, but he named a number of names in the CIA who were responsible for the assassination. And this is documented. It was initially broadcast on George Norrie's Coast to Coast. I have a copy both of the transcript and of the audio of the confession. Howard Hunt was also involved in Watergate. He's one of the major, he was one of the burglars who was caught. Basically, he was one of the major players in this whole Watergate event. So Howard Hunt played a role in the Kennedy assassination. He also, as I wrote my first book on the assassination of Jack Kennedy, who really killed Jack Kennedy, Howard Hunt had orchestrated back in the 1950s. There was a banana company in Nicaragua, Guatemala, that the government wanted to replace because he was going to return land from the banana company to the people who lived in Guatemala. Howard Hunt arranged to equip an army in Nicaragua to invade. They were all CIA agents. They overthrew the president of Nicaragua for the banana company. Edward Bernays was involved in that. I knew Edward Bernays. You've got a whole group of government agents who have been doing assassinations and coup d'etats, and they decided to do a coup d'etat against Jack Kennedy. Dr. Mantic's examination of the X-rays is forensic proof that's it's indisputable, scientific proof that Jack Kennedy was shot twice from the front.
What is the most damning evidence here? The X-rays, the doctored X-rays? And let me re-ask it, Jerry. Was Dr. Mantic able to reconstruct the original x-rays prior to the doctoring?
Well, what he was able to do is show the doctoring and what it masked, but the doctoring was done quickly and not very professionally. So they put a white patch to kind of hide the back of the head, but the white patch on the right lateral x-ray is different from the white patch on the left lateral x-ray. That can't be, that's not possible. There's all kinds of obvious mistakes that were made, right. but there is enough evidence in the x-rays to show, I mean, you can see the bullet trail, the bullet that went across the top of the head had to be a mercury bullet because the doctors couldn't remove it. But Humes and Boswell couldn't remove it during the pre-autopsy surgery. And the entry wound of the temple, the shot to the right ear is a keyhole wound. And you can see it obviously in the x-ray. That's the kind of wound that you get when a shot hits a head obliquely. And the back of the head, the Harper fragment is gone, and there's evidence of the Harper fragment being gone in the x-rays as well. The optical density, and these are Jack Kennedy's x-rays because the dental records of these x-rays match a premortem skull x-ray that JFK had taken and was archived in the JFK Museum in Boston. So it's his skull. The masking and the alteration of the x-rays, all three is obvious, and the two frontal shots is indisputable. The evidence is in the x-rays.
There are three future presidents peripherally involved here. LBJ, the vice president at the time, George H.W. Bush, I'm not sure where he was, except we know he was in Dallas and was closely affiliated with and probably was in the CIA, and Gerry Ford, who was on the Warren Commission. Were the three of them in cahoots?
And also Richard Nixon was there that day too. Richard Nixon was also in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963.
What the hell was Nixon doing there? Is that just a coincidence?
Well, Nixon was there attending a convention and he gave a speech and he stayed until during the assassination. It was just afterwards he flew back. He lied about it. And for years, and finally he admitted that he was there because it's been documented on the record.
Okay, it doesn't place him in the conspiracy, though.
Well, he's there. And so, again, you know, all these presidents being there, future presidents, is suspicious. I think the one that's most clearly there are the suspicions about all of them. You know, Gerald Ford altered the final report of the Warren Commission by moving the back shot up a little bit and the head shot. He rearranged the shots and the language. The government had a problem. None of the government's case fits together because you have a number of problems. There were three shells found, and James Tagg, a witness, was hit in the cheek by a bullet that missed. So you've only got two shots that could have done the damage of hitting Jack Kennedy and John Connolly. You know, John Connolly was hit by a bullet that broke his ribs. It broke the radial bone of his arm and landed in his knee. And two shots had to have done all this damage from behind when the body showed the shots from the front. Parkland Hospital made that definitively clear. These doctors knew what they were doing. So the evidence doesn't fit together. That's why we had the single bullet theory, because by the time Arlen Specter and the Warren Commission, he was one of the attorneys for the Warren Commission before he became a senator, our inspector said, well, one shot hit in the back of the head, and then this other shot hit in the back, went through the neck, and then did all this damage to Connolly, which is nonsense, and yet ended up as Committee Exhibit 399, a pristine bullet. Impossible. And yet the doctors were bullied. So the night of the autopsy, November 22nd, 1963, the Bethesda doctors are bullying over the phone all night long the doctors at Parkland, saying if they don't change their testimony and say they might have been wrong, they will bring them before a medical certification board, and these doctors at Parkland will never practice medicine again. The doctors at Parkland buckled under the pressure.
You know, President Trump, in a private conversation with me, at which I had asked him shortly before he left office when he was going to reveal the JFK assassination files, said to me, if they showed you what they showed me, you wouldn't reveal them either. Who do you think Dr. Corsi, the they was to whom he referred, and what do you think they showed him?
I think it was a combination of the National Security Intelligence Apparatus, CIA, probably military intelligence. And I think what they, the main thing I think they're still hiding is that Lee Harvey Oswald had a close relationship with the CIA, continuing even during the day of the assassination. I think Lee Harvey Oswald was there on some kind of an assignment, an intelligence assignment, and he was shocked to see that he was being framed for the assassination. Oswald said things like, I'm waiting for someone to come forward. I need a lawyer. One of the last calls he made was to an intelligence operative who was probably his contact. That call did not go through. Lee Harvey Oswald was begging for somebody to come forward. And when he was told in a press conference that he had been charged with the assassination, he looked disgusted. This can't be. And then he said he was a patsy. I think Lee Harvey Oswald was telling the truth. And I think when that's revealed on the remaining documents, the country is going to finally know that we've been living in a Jim Carrey Truman Show, where the lying government narrative, which is what they do, they construct a narrative, they have a dramatic event, Jack Kennedy's killed, here's the narrative, they blame it on this lone gun assassin, who's probably a CIA operative, and the whole country then gives power over to these intelligence agencies, the military intelligence agencies, and the military industrial complex take over. Jack Kennedy did not want to go to war during the Cuban Missile Crisis. He did not want, he had signed an order to pull out of Vietnam. There were billions of dollars going to be made in going into Vietnam. Jack Kennedy, so the day Jack Kennedy was killed was a coup d'etat by the deep state who have been running the country ever since. And that was the day the country changed.
The book is called, I'll hold it up, The Final Analysis. I haven't read all of it, but I've read much of it. And I can tell you it is definitive and unassailable, both from a historical and a medical point of view. And the medical aspects of it are understandable by non-medical people. So I highly recommend this. Dr. Corsi, we've been friends for a long time. You've written over 30 books. This is probably your greatest work.
Thank you, Judge. I'm honored you'd say that. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time. We'll have you back. We'll have you back again soon.
Look forward to it. Thank you. God bless.
Of course. Wow. Not our usual interview. Terrifying and compelling. Just want to remind you of what we have coming up at 11 this morning Eastern. Colonel Douglas McGregor at 2 this afternoon. Matt Ho at 3 o'clock Eastern, Karen Kwiatkowski at 4 o'clock Eastern, Anya Parampal, and at 5 o'clock Eastern, Professor Jeff Sachs. Judge Napolitano for Judging Freedom.